And there we go. So, how many of y'all in here are, while you might not love NFL football, you do watch at least some of the Super Bowl every year? Anybody? Show of hands. You at least watch the Super Bowl. I think a lot of people do, even if you don't really care. Right? It's just kind of a big event, right? And did y'all know, are y'all aware that there are some crazy bets for the Super Bowl? Anybody know about that? Anybody know the crazy bets? They call them prop bets. Not who's going to win the game, but prop bets. So this is a real thing, okay? These are real things. I'm not making this up. So we're talking like how long the national anthem will be, all right? People bet on that. Okay, and so they'll say, okay, who's singing it this time? Who's kind of like, you know, kind of really jazzes it up, and who's not going to do it? And so they'll actually will place bets, real money, on the length of it. All right, which has got to be kind of weird, you know. Maybe, you know, if you could kind of broadcast into every home in America when the national anthem was over to hear people either moaning or yell, woo, you know, whatever, if they won money, I don't know. You know, the one that is really to me probably the craziest one is what will the color of the Gatorade be, right, at the end of the game? Like when they throw it on the coach, you know, what color will the Gatorade be? Who will the MVP thank first? Who will the player of the game thank first? Like that, yeah, these are real things. How many commercials there's going to be, okay? Or which one's going to be the first commercial? Like these are all real bets. And so what's the point? Do you think they get them right? Not everybody, right? And that's kind of had if you haven't been here and that's okay. We're just so grateful that you're here today. Side note: since you joined the last part of a 3-part series, that means you have to stay. You have to come back the next 3 weeks, right? Okay, I'm just playing. But this is, you know, we are in number 44, sermon number 44 in the book of Mark. I think we're going to do about a year in it, okay? So we should be done. Like, in all seriousness, we should be done into March, okay? For your information. But with that said, within that, we are in part 3 of a sermon series, of a kind of a mini sermon series within the book of Mark called the Olivet Discourse. Okay, this is where Jesus from the Mount of Olives is preaching, and he shares some pretty difficult things, okay? A lot of prophecy in there. And so we've kind of, for fun and way of introduction, kind of talked about some of the you know, the sporting events that are bet on most often and how just people are not, you know, they mess up, but they don't get it right. And so the last 2 weeks, okay, was 1 and 2. So the first week we talked about a statement and signs. Okay, because Jesus makes the statement that, you know, this house, this building, this temple is going to be done with. Okay, it's going to be demolished because the disciples were like, hey man, check that thing out. I think it's nice. And just as a way of reminder, and it's kind of a background for those who haven't been here, it was 5 football fields long and 4 football fields wide. Okay, the temple. We're talking, as Donald Trump would say, huge. Okay, like it was really, really large and it was very impressive. But Jesus makes a statement, kind of feels like out of nowhere, and then the disciples had to come back to it. Like, wait a minute, Jesus, what you said? Like, when's that going to happen? Like, wait a minute. And so he gives some signs, remember, of the not yet, okay, because things that we still see happening, famines and wars and rumors of wars and all those things that we've already experienced, so signs of kind of not yet there. And then last week we looked at suffering and the fact that as Christians we can expect that we'll experience some hard times. Okay, and then also the fact that the sharing of the gospel, the advancement of the gospel, and what are we doing? Are we doing our part to do that? And then the coming of the Son of Man, okay, which we're going to look more at today as well. So today is number 3, surety and staying sharp. So if you will look on the screen or turn in your Bible, whichever one you want to, there's Bibles all around in the pews there, Mark 13. Verses 28 through 31. All this is in the 13th chapter of Mark. So we'll finish it today. Okay? So Jesus goes on. He says, learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its branch becomes tender and sprouts leaves, you know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see these things happening, recognize that he is near. recognize that he is near at the door. Truly I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. And I think my English teachers here will appreciate this, but the word surety is not something we use a lot. I like it. It's kind of a cool word. But of course, you know, we have our main points all alliterative, like a good Baptist preacher would do. Surety, again, is not a word we use very often, but it is defined as the state of being sure or certain of something. Okay? Pretty simple. We just don't use it very often. Okay? So being sure of something, that's surety. And I'm pretty sure, that this is what... it doesn't work. All right. Sorry. Okay. I'm not a botanist. Sorry. I had my wrong notes here. I'm not a botanist. I'm not very good at anything like that. But according to study, fig trees sprout leaves in March or April. Okay. So the fig trees that he's talking about. Okay. And so that's a sure sign that what's coming up after March and April? Summer. All right. Okay. So that's a sure sign that summer will soon follow. It's that time of year. Time of year. Gosh, Salazar, are you okay, babe? Yeah. I mean, I about ran out of breath earlier when I was trying to read and was running around. All right, y'all pray for me. Side note: this was the perfect. I love this too because this is. I mean, just so much like Jesus here. This is the perfect time and place for Jesus to use an example of a fig tree. You know, I always love how the examples and the illustrations and the parables he used applied to people right there, you know, who were his hearers at the time. So Jesus taught this on the Mount of Olives, and this was famous for its fig trees. And Jesus also taught this before Passover. And so when we get this out, when we talk about this idea of surety, in this passage we see two things that we can be sure of. Okay? And like I've said, gosh, so many times as a pastor over the last 4 years or more, four plus years, just because it's simple doesn't make it any less true. I mean, and we still should recognize it and praise God for it. Amen. See, because in two things we can be sure of. Number one, the Lord God Almighty. Okay? Amen. See, let's be honest. Isn't certainty and reliability a pretty big deal? Right. Any bosses in here? Anybody under you, or you have students under you? Like you like when students do what you tell them to do as a teacher. You know, I like knowing, for instance, like right now, that my house will keep me warm. All right, that'll do its job. That in the winter, and it'll keep me cool in the summer. I like knowing that I can get in my truck and it's going to take me where it's supposed to take me. All right, amen. Okay, mud bogging or whatever, right? Okay, I don't know. But, you know, it's going to crank it up and do its job. We know about vehicles that have it. All right, Sally, we had a car that wasn't very reliable. Daddy's probably going to laugh at this. I did not know Daddy was going to be here this morning. And I actually didn't know I was going to say this till this morning, but before he got here. But I had a Ford Ranger. That was my first vehicle. All right? Daddy taught me how to drive it out in the field. It was a six shift. And he said, "Have at it, son." All right. And so so I learned how to drive the thing first. Let's just say that Ford Ranger had a mind of its own when I was in college. Okay. And it didn't always want to work in the morning. Anybody else like that? Y'all don't really want to get up in the morning? Okay, the old Ford Ranger, he just didn't want to work in the morning. And for real, serious, I'm not making this up. When I went to North Florida Junior College, I went there 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. At least one of those 3 days, maybe two, okay, it would not make it to Madison. Okay, and I would be on side road, but I could always rely on, I hope my friend Scott is going to listen to this, Scott. He would be coming late. I just knew he was going to be late. So he would see, he'd look for me. Hey, man, you got to look for me. All right, and he would pick me up. He would take me to class. I'd be a little bit late, all right, but I made it because that truck was not reliable, okay? Like, just was it? Solenoid problems, right? Know what it was? That is solenoid, alternating. Oh, my gosh, all right? Oh. But anyway, but we appreciate something that can be trusted to do what it's supposed to do, to work the way it's supposed to work, right? And see, that's the crux of it. See, can you or what you are relying on to be certain and reliable, can those things be trusted? And ultimately, as we obviously speak in the church setting, you know, who is the object of your trust, ultimately? Okay? Who is it? Who or what are you trusting in? See, it may be more of a what. It may be that some of us are trusting money, or maybe our own smarts, all right, or our own goals, or, you know, the fact that I know I'm a go-getter, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to be doing, I'm going to plan it, and it's going to happen. right? Is that what we're trusting in? Or are we trusting the Lord God Almighty? And then the question is, can he be trusted? See, I read this to you earlier, and I didn't really... I mean, I had the fact that on my planning, I was going to read Isaiah 40 before church. But then I was, you know, this morning, I'm like, should I read the whole thing? And I'm like, ooh, I kept reading. We got to read that whole thing. And listen to verse 28. It's going to be up here again for you. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the whole earth. He never becomes faint or weary. There is no limit to his understanding. See, can the Lord God Almighty be trusted? The answer is resounding yes. Amen? Like, God never sleeps. He never slumbers. He doesn't take breaks. Amen? He can be trusted. There's no limit to his understanding. I like how Isaiah puts it in 11 chapters later, Isaiah 51, says, look up to the heavens and look at the earth beneath, for the heavens will vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and its inhabitants will die like gnats. But my salvation will last forever, and my righteousness will never be shattered. See, when all else fades, when all else wears out, vanishes, God doesn't. Amen? All right, you can trust him. And not just Lord God Almighty, but his word. His word. And we also read this in Isaiah 40 this morning, verse 8. And some of y'all had this memorized. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our God remains forever. You know, when it's that season, all right, the grass withers, right? Yeah, I actually like cutting the grass, okay? Especially if my dad will make sure that my lawnmower is working. He's like my, you know, he probably gets tired of me getting him to help me fix it. But I actually don't mind the actual cutting of the grass because there's something, I don't know, relaxing about it. I don't know, it's kind of weird. You know, I put my stuff, my headphones in or whatever, and I listen to something. You know, and sometimes it's music. I'll be praising God. People look at me, and that's a zero turn. And I like raise my hand. Oh, got to get back on it so I don't run over something. But we know. All right, right now I'm not cutting grass, but at some point, soon, I'll be cutting grass again. Right, the grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our God remains forever. And it got me thinking about this. See, God's word can be trusted. Amen. Can be trusted. It's sure. There's surety in it. There's certainty in it. But it can it be trusted if you don't read it? It can be, but in order, God's word can be trusted, but before it can be trusted, it also needs to be read. Amen? You had to say that, Brother Patrick. You're a preacher. Mm-hmm. But in all seriousness, do you read it? I've kind of sometimes you hear about these churches and they'll get these people, you know, and they're looking for a pastor and they'll have all these qualifications, you know, and they got to be, you know, have this doctorate or, you know, this education, you know, in seminary. I don't have any of that. All right. But I try to read my Bible every day. I'll do that. Okay. And that's not bragging. It's an encouragement to you to just read it. Read it. And you're not going to understand everything. I don't either. Okay? But read it anyway. Or at least hear it. All right? Come to church or listen to a podcast where somebody's preaching. Right? Amen? All right? There's actually apps that read the Bible to you. Read aloud apps. Okay? Which is also really, really cool. All right? Read a whole lot better than I can. And so, heaven and earth. So, Jesus' statement in verse 31. He makes a statement. It's not going to be on the screen, Miss Rhonda. But let me read it to you. Verse 31. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Who's speaking? Jesus. Okay, you need to catch that. Jesus doesn't beat around the bush, okay? When he says this, that is a strong, he is claiming authority as God, okay? This isn't some, oh, maybe Jesus claimed to be God. No, he did. Yep. He made it right there. He says, my words will not pass away. Okay? So he makes a strong statement. We can trust him. He is God in the flesh, and his words are true and can be trusted. See, again, as we wrap up this point, in a world where it seems that nobody's word can be trusted, right? It's a comfort to know that we have a God that we can be sure on, who you can count on. I hope you have that in your life, okay? I mean, I hope you surround yourself with people that you can trust, but also beyond that, a God that you can trust, right? Because people will mess up, all right? We'll do stupid things, right? Even churches, amen or oh me. And so while doubts may arise from time to time, may we continue to trust the Lord to keep our faith in Him above all else. Amen. And so as you see the central statement, especially maybe for those who haven't been here, you can see where we've been the last couple weeks. So in Jesus' Olivet Discourse, we see a statement, signs, suffering people, the sharing of the gospel, becoming the Son of Man, surety, and lastly, a challenge for believers to stay sharp. To stay sharp. Number two, to the last six verses. Now concerning that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Watch, be alert. I want you to notice how many times he says something like, watch or be alert. For you don't know when the time is coming. It's like a man on a journey who left his house, gave authority to his servants, gave each one his work, and commanded the doorkeeper to be alert. Therefore, be alert, since you don't know when the master of the house is coming, whether in the evening or at midnight or at the crowing of the rooster or early in the morning. Otherwise, when he comes suddenly, he might find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to everyone, be alert. Be alert. Hopefully you get the point there. So no one knows but God the Father. Do you know what the Greek word for no one means? No one. That was a joke. Amen. Amen. All right. Like, you know, I talk about you know, these great, what these words mean. No one. No one knows but God the Father. All right. So all this guessing and all this prognostication and predicting and experts and all this, no one really knows but God the Father. Amen. When Jesus will return. And so, in fact, I want to hammer that point on with two references, one from the New Testament, one from the Old. Acts 1:7 says, he said to them, it is not for you to know times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. It's not for us to know. All right, point blank. And then Zechariah 14:7, it will be a unique day known only to the Lord, without day or night, but there will be light at even. So, be ready. Be ready. Y'all know I used to coach basketball, and I've used a lot of examples, and you probably heard this one before, more than likely. But one of the things, I actually talked to Aaron about this last week when after church. Sometimes I would be more concerned about little things, the way my players acted on the bench, than what was actually going on the court at the time. Because I felt like the way everything mattered. Everything. And so I would actually teach this. So we were very meticulous. We wanted them to be prepared for everything. And so the week before our first game, we're going to talk about how to go out for pregame. All right, what are we going to do? Okay, here's our pregame ritual. We're going to do layup line. We're going to do passes. What we're going to do, you know, star drill, whatever. We're going to do all these different things. Okay, make sure you know what you're doing, because so we don't look like fools. All right, we're going to do this before every game. All right. Okay, now let's practice walking off the court. Jogging off the court and jogging on. All right. So we were literally, and then I'll pull the bleachers out just for that day. All right, and I pretend I'd bring in Miss Jan on for Alex, okay? I better see Miss Jan jogging on, Miss Alex, and Mr. Alex jogging off, okay? That would be awesome, by the way. But, we talk about that, okay? How you, because the sign, you, I want to show a sign of being ready, being prepared. And then beyond that, one of the most important things I wanted them to do was, how do you act when you're sitting on the bench? I don't know about you, but I spent a lot of time on the bench in my life. I don't know about, all right, I did, okay. But, amen, amen. That's funny. All right. But we would talk about how when you're sitting on the bench, okay, you don't sit back like this. This is not your posture. Okay? All right? You are not with your back that way. Okay? You are sit forward with your elbows on your knees. Okay? That's how you sit. Okay? So you're sitting like this. Leaning forward, act like you care about what's going on in the game. Now, what's the point? The point is to show everybody on my side, I don't know about them, but my team, all of them ready to go, every one of them. All right, and also there's more than that. It's just showing that you care about your teammates on the court, okay? All right, that, you know, you're not just worried about yourself because you just got taken out of the game, right? Okay, but anyway, that's a whole other story for another time. And that was a long way of saying it was very important that my guys be ready, because you never know. You never know when your number's going to be called, right, to come in and play, and what you're going to do when you get that chance. And so Mark records Jesus telling the disciples five times in these six verses to be alert. All right, did y'all catch that? At least five times he tells them to be alert, stay awake. Okay, five times. Again, we talked about this before. Just because it's simple doesn't mean it's any less true. If it's repeated, it's probably important. Okay? And so stay alert, stay alert. In addition, Jesus has already said in verse 5 of this same chapter to watch out, and in verse 9, he told them to be on their guard. Okay? So there's been multiple times in this scripture that's, and it is hard to grasp and understand. A lot of stuff in there we just don't get. But he does say several times to be alert. Watch out. Be ready. See? So it must be important. So my question next is, how do we stay ready? How do we stay ready as Christians? And this is not an all-inclusive list at all. And this is more of a topical thing. But I did think it goes with it. And man, I wish Miss Dolores was here, because she would add punches to my Baptist preacher card here for a while, okay? Because I have 5 things here to start with the letter S here. Alex, you'll be proud of me. Tell her that, okay? And the first one is supplication. All this has to do with being ready. Supplication. What does supplication mean? Anybody know? Pray. Supplication is just another word for prayer. And I'm actually going to use that in a couple weeks. Again, that same word. So if you don't remember now, you better know it 2 weeks from now, or I might have to kick you out. I'm just playing. All right. All right, we're going to keep the ones we got. You know, just playing. All right, supplication. Ephesians 6, verse 18. Pray at all times in the Spirit. Pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request, and stay alert with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. Now, that doesn't mean that we're just praying all the time, but it's a spirit and attitude of prayer. It's like the old saying is, you know, hey, the best time to pray is when you're driving. Just don't close your eyes, right? Amen. Okay, it feels like that's what people are doing. Maybe that's their excuse for not being able to drive. I don't know. Amen. My gosh, man. More and more people know how to drive. All right, but supplication, praying at all times. It's a spirit of prayer. I have to do that. I know the teachers in the house will say amen. I have to do that during class. God, give me strength right now before I, go off on somebody. Okay? All right? I don't want to throw a kid through a window today, but I'm feeling like it, Lord. So please help me not throw a kid through a window. All right? I hope no one sees that. But anyway, Colossians 4:2, devote yourselves to prayer. Stay alert. Stay alert in it with thanksgiving. Stay alert in prayer. Being ready at all times. And again, we mentioned this before. I think Sally was the one who mentioned it back during Thanksgiving time. You know, the fact that what are people who are saying they're thankful for, who are they thanking? Without a relationship with God Almighty, who are they thanking? I don't know. So I'm just so grateful that we have somebody that we can pray to, we can thank. Amen. I'm appreciative of the fact that we have a direct line to God. Right? We have a direct line. And yes, he hears the prayers of unrepentant, of people who don't know him as their Savior when they call to him for salvation. Right, but for us, for those of us who have given our lives to Christ, those of us who accepted that what Jesus did on the cross counted for us, we have a direct line. It's like we were talking about yesterday. I was Sally and I and Scott and I as well. The skip ahead lines at these amusement parks. Is anyone ever using one, like a skip ahead line, right, at an amusement park, Disney or whatever? That's kind of nice, man. You're like, woo! I'll have fun waiting. All right, I get here. I mean, because you have a direct skip ahead line, right? Or I also was thinking about this morning about when you call a business, how often you have to do the whole dial 1 for this, dial 2, and then you're on the phone for 20 minutes and you don't talk to anybody. I wish you could just go straight to the source. Anybody else? Amen. All right. But see, we have that. We have that direct line to God. See, we as Christians have that. Amen. And so with supplication, we pray, staying ready, we pray. And then to how do we stay ready? We stand firm. We stand strong. Okay? We stand firm in our faith, and we're strong. All right? 1 Corinthians 16:13 tells us that. Be alert. Be alert. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. All right? Have faith in the Lord God Almighty. Stand firm in your faith, even when it doesn't seem right on top at the time. In fact, that's what faith is that having that seeing, and believing when you don't see it, all right, and knowing it's going to happen, to trust and obey, right? Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Amen. The third one to that goes along with this, and to me, it's just kind of a dumb one. All right, but sleep no more. Sleep no more. 1 Thessalonians, Paul tells the church there in Thessalonica the following in chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. about the times, and it goes right with what we've been talking about the last couple of weeks, about the times and the seasons, brothers and sisters, you do not need anything to be written to you, for you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. When they say peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them, like labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in the dark for this day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or the darkness. So then let us not sleep like the rest, but let us stay awake and be self-controlled. And then, you know, I'm going to reread that last verse. So then let us not sleep like the rest, but let us stay awake and be self-controlled. That was the next one. To both sleep no more, to stay awake, and to be self-controlled in how we live. And then Satan, our adversary, realizing, all right, that we have an adversary, like we have somebody who's against us, keeps us sharp. Like otherwise, you know, doesn't really matter, right? I mean, you know, y'all know I love sports. I mean, if a team just knows it doesn't count, like, I mean, they're just not going to try. Like, it really doesn't matter. It's practice. What did Allen Iverson say about practice? It's practice, coach. Practice. Okay? I mean, so, you know, but when you know you have a real opponent, right? A real adversary, it helps us stay sharp. See, Satan's our adversary. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober-minded, be alert. Your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for anyone he can devour or anyone he can eat. Okay? Yeah, sometimes it's better to say the right word, what it means. Okay? So, basically, I really like how the writers of the ESV Study Bible sums it up. They said this, instead of speculating about the specific timing of end time events, all disciples are to be vigilant. I can't say it any better. But again, it's again kind of my point through it all is that we don't understand everything, and we don't know exactly when this is going to happen, when Jesus is going to come back and take us home. But we are to be vigilant. We better be staying awake and being alert. Amen. See, maybe, this is an amen or oh me as a whole church and churches in general. Right? Maybe if we Christians spent less time arguing about minor things and more times being sober-minded and alert, it's kind of a thought. Because what we do like to argue about some crazy stuff sometimes. See, be vigilant, not lazy, not lazy. See, as I've told you many times, the one thing that really bothers me as a teacher and as a coach was laziness. This is how I am. It gets coming back in my mind. And I think, I don't know, Sally or somebody even mentioned that. Said, Pastor, you just appreciate people who work hard. Like, that's just how I'm ingrained. I think my sister's the same way. I don't forget my dad, my mom. I don't know. All right. But there's something about work ethic that I appreciate. That's just how I am. Okay. I respect people who are going to put the work in. And when I don't feel like they put in much work and they get this or that, I'm like, have a hard time, and that's the one I need to, you know, ask for forgiveness. I have a hard time respecting that person. Just, you know, I just appreciate hard work, Miss Jane. You know, working in the, you know, planting tobacco, right? I mean, I just appreciate that. Okay, and I used to always tell my team, you know, before every game, all the years I coached, I said the same thing: is you can control two things, your attitude and your effort. You can't control how the ball bounces, especially in basketball or football. Man, football's oblong. Man, who knows where things going to bounce, right? Right? But you can control your effort going forward. I love, sorry if I'm talking to, you know, I'm not going to apologize. I think you'll appreciate it. But one of my favorite things during tryouts, although I did not like tryouts because you had to cut people, but one of my favorite things is, like, it is introducing people to the idea that we don't use out of bounds. Right. We didn't use out of bounds in practice for hardly anything. Okay, so if a ball was bouncing out of bounds, okay, somebody better go get it. Okay, and so it was nothing. I don't know. God watch over us for all those years that we didn't have. It is a huge blessing that more people didn't get hurt. All right, because it was nothing to see 10 people go for a ball. All right, and the bleachers weren't out. Okay, so you have more room, and literally slam into the bleachers and on a concrete floor, not grass, okay, concrete floor, diving for a ball, all right? There better be about 5 or 10 going for that ball, all right? And when they get it, everybody there better pick up that person and give them a high five and recognize his effort, because we were making that a huge point that you, in this place, on this team, we're going to give 100% effort. So what's that have to do with us? So as we go to the closing, that's something I want to focus on here in just a moment, because as I conclude, it's going to, like I told you before, we're going to use pretty much the same conclusion. I didn't really lie to you, but I'm going to add a little bit today, okay? So I want to conclude the same way with adding a few things. See, I want to make it very clear that whenever we read confusing passages like today, all right, we can be assured of this, okay? Two things. All right, go ahead, Ms. Rhonda. All right, she's doing great. Isn't she doing a great job? All right. God is omniscient. That means he's all-knowing. Omni-all. The S-C-I there means knowledge, okay? So all-knowing. He knows all things. God does, not us, okay? God is all-knowing, and he has a plan, okay? And what he says will happen, amen? He knows all things, but it's not up for us to know times and periods. And while we're living in the not yet, as it pertains to the end of this world and eternity, we don't know when that time will come. We also don't know when we'll take our last breath, amen? We don't really know, okay? What was it the other day? Somebody was talking about a student in Swanee. I think Aaron was telling me that Friday night. A young boy, like 19 years old, died of cancer. Is that right? All right, 19. See, my question today for you is, are you ready? Are you ready? And in addition to that, here's my added things here. Mark 13, verse 37. Same chapter, okay? All right. So, and when you look at it, actually happens to be the last verse, if I'm not mistaken. Yes. All right. And what I say to you, I say to everyone, be alert. All right. You know what everyone in Greek means? Everyone. All right. I use that joke twice a day. I can't use it for another month. All right. Amen. Thank you. You'll make sure I don't do that. So everyone means everyone. Yes, even you. See, every single one of us must be ready for his return, because we really do not know when that will be or when our time on earth is over. And so to clarify once again what I mean as far as being ready, what I mean is, have you accepted? Have you said Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, that when God gave Jesus to die on a cross that day, right, on Calvary, that what he did counts for you. It counts for you and it counts for me. That we realize that we can't make it to heaven on our own merits. No matter of do-goodness can get us there. It's, I can't do it. I accept Jesus. What you did on the cross is counting for me. All right? And I want to live my life and as best I can for you, and to advance that, tell others about it. Amen. But to those of us here who are already ready, we're not done yet. Okay? I can't let you out yet. Okay? There are just a few things I want to bring out this morning. Back in verse 34. Okay? Back in verse 34. So let me show you this, and we're going to end this way, okay? Jesus said, it's like a man on a journey who left his house, gave authority to his servants, gave each one his work, and commanded the doorkeeper to be alert. All right, so Jesus has left us a few extremely important things in that verse, okay? And we could do a whole other sermon on it. Y'all probably like, Pastor, we need to move on. No, I'm playing. I'm sure y'all don't mind too much. But in that verse, three things, right, that he says. Talks about his house. Okay? So the church belongs to Jesus, but he trusts us to watch over it. All right. So how are we doing as a church? I think we're doing pretty good. I mean, I love you guys, but that's something that we need to make. Are we doing that well? Okay. Are we taking care of his house? Are we trying to bring people in? Okay? We come here and worship God in spirit and truth as best we can. We come broken, but we still come. Amen. Or the next thing is his authority. Okay, he gave authority to his servants. We're his servants. So we are to live and serve in the authority of Jesus. Okay, in the authority of Jesus. And then his work. To me, it just makes sense. We talked about a lot today. Okay, gave authority to his servants, gave each one his work. So, each of us has our work to do. And see, we aren't responsible for someone else's work. And we can go all into that and how people, God gives people different gifts, you know, and maybe your job, at church is to preach. Maybe it's to sing. Maybe it's to take care of the finances, right? Or, you know, make sure that's taken care of. Or clean the floors like somebody did this week, all right? Or to greet someone. or to provide donuts, which I'm going to have some later. All right. But you know, whatever it is, we're responsible. We aren't responsible for someone else's work, but we are most certainly responsible for our work. Okay. See, I don't have the whole thing memorized, but I'm sure y'all know the story. Okay. So y'all can fill in the blanks that I missed. All right. But there's a, you know, story goes that on the shore one day on the beach, there's thousands of starfish all on the beach, right? Thousands of them. And this man walked out there and saw this little boy picking up starfish and throwing them in one at a time and throwing them into the sea, right? And the man walked up to him and says, "Son, what are you doing? You know, like there's thousands of starfish." He said, "Well, I'm throwing them back in the sea." He says, "Well, son, there's thousands of starfish here. What difference can you make?" And he picks up a starfish, throws it in the sea, says, "Well, it made a difference to that one." So we basically, as Christians, we're never off duty. We don't have days off. We're always at work. Amen. And so may we go out with that knowledge today and tell somebody about Jesus. Amen. We ask Sally and Alex to